Welcome to Two Larrys and a Mike. I'm Larry Dowdy.
I'm Larry Bly.
And Mike is...
This is interesting. Mike has taken up the bagpipes. Hoping to meet some hot chicks. Unfortunately, he gets invited to a lot of funerals. And he can only pick up old bags. Instead of hot chicks.
Is that the name of his bagpipes?
Yes.
Old bags.
Old bags.
Hello. Well, I wish him well with that.
Well, I do too. Nothing but the best.
Coming soon, Larry Dowdy on Juice Harp, Mike on bagpipes. That ought to sound good, shouldn't it?
By the way, I've just been handed this correction.
Oh?
I have to make a correction.
Oh.
And I can't blame our cracked research department for this.
Well, they're on vacation for the summer.
Yeah, well, they always are.
Okay.
This fell out of my mouth during the last podcast accidentally, and it wasn't right. I mentioned that I thought Sit Down, I Think I Love You was done by Dino Desi Imbeli.
Yeah.
Who at this point have been mentioned more times than any other rock stars on this podcast. Well, not so. Sit Down, I Think I Love You was done by the Mojo Men. Not that anybody cares. Dino, Desi, and Billy had
no mojo.
No, well, they didn't have a mojo.
Okay.
Dino, Desi, and Billy had a hit titled I'm a Fool on Frank Sinatra's Reprieve label. Did you know that?
I did not.
I'm pretty certain that no one gave a flying fig one way or the other, but we do strive for accuracy here on the old podcast, though we seldom come even close.
But we still strive.
That's right.
So, there you go. All right. This is episode 42 of Two Larrys and a Mike.
And what would we be doing, Mr.
Well,
Dowdy?
It's bands with animals in their name.
That's a pig.
And know of any band? Never mind. But anyway, we're going to be doing the.
Isn't there some pig somebody at Woodstock? Possibly. I'll have to look that one up.
We'll look into that. But anyway, we're going to go to the animals in this podcast, and we'll explain a little bit more coming up in just a little bit. But right now, what do you say we have a time for living?
Birthday time.
Oh, boy.
Get out the hats.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead, Mr. Dowdy.
All
you
right.
You got somebody over there?
Oh, I do. Pat Boone turned 88 recently. Morgan Freeman, not really a singer, but a pretty darn good actor, I'd say.
Well, you know why I did that?
85.
Because he is a rock star to me.
Well, that's true.
Morgan Freeman is a rock star. I don't care what anybody says.
Good point.
I did purposely include him for that reason, because I just adore the man. I think he's wonderful.
Good inclusion. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Ron Wood of the Rolling Stones, 75. Country singer Ronnie Dunn, Brooks and Dunn fame, 69. Let's see, who else? Simon Gallup of The Cure, 62.
Musician Bob Dylan is 81. Singer Patti LaBelle, 78 years old. Boy, she still looks like she's hot as a pistol.
Yeah,
she still looks great.
She's got some pipes.
Singer Roseanne Cash is 67.
Mm-hmm.
Drummer Gary Peterson of the Guess Who, 72.
Mm-hmm.
Stevie Nicks, 74. Hank Williams Jr., 73. And Lenny Kravitz is 58.
All right.
Are you a Lenny Kravitz fan?
I like some of his stuff, yeah. I love what he did with American Woman.
I'm reading his book right now. It's sitting right here. Looking at it.
I got
the book right here, ladies and gentlemen. It's the real deal. And it's hard... It's hard to back, so you know, I paid a lot of money for it.
Yes, you did.
Lenny Kravitz, his biography is called Let Love Rule. And I will tell you, this is a real wonderful, fun book to read.
Really?
He is really quite the character. I never thought I wasn't interested in Lenny Kravitz. This was given to me as a Christmas gift. But anyway, did you know that his father was... He grew up in show business. I didn't know this. His father was a producer for NBC News and worked at Rockefeller Center every day.
I wasn't aware of that.
And his mama, Roxy Roker, no relation to Al, was an actress. She was a Broadway star.
Yeah.
And so he grew up knowing all these Broadway people, all these stars. But she also went on to play Helen Willis, an ex-door neighbor on The Jeffersons.
Okay.
For 10 or 11 years, she had to relocate from New York, where they actually lived.
Yeah, yeah.
And they bought a house out in Hollywood Hills. And it's a fascinating book. He has a very interesting background. He really does.
Well, save the Lenny Kravitz name for our next podcast, okay. Guitar Gods.
All right.
Because he would certainly fall in that category.
Well, okay, there so, you go.
You have to read a couple more chapters.
Look, I'm real close to the end of it.
Yes,
I'm really enjoying it, though. I really
good,
am.
It's good to hear.
Great
to
book.
Hear.
Really is.
Back to birthdays.
Oh, yeah.
Guitarist Lenny Davidson of Dave Clark 5, 78. Country singer Wynonna Judd. And that Judd family's been through it lately, haven't they?
Boy, haven't they.
58. Gladys Knight, 78. Billy Vera, 78. And John Fogerty turned 77.
Still
recently.
Looking out my back door.
Yeah. Oh, and one more. I didn't get a note on this one. Country singer Phil Vassar from Lynchburg. He's 58.
Oh,
he can do some good stuff, too.
All right. Very good. Well, let's say you want to talk about the bands with animals in their name.
I think we should dive right into that. What do you say? All right. Bands. Now, think about this. Bands with animals in their name.
I just gotta get a message to you. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
And all I gotta do is act naturally.
Flew in from Miami Beach, B-O-A-C. Didn't get to bed last night.
Oh, baby, baby, it's a wild world.
Goodbye, Earl.
Ain't that tough enough?
Why don't you tell your dreams to me? Fantasy will set you free.
You don't want to know one of the first problems I had with this subject. Are birds animals?
Well, yes.
Are they?
Yeah, well, I would
they're foul.
Consider that.
They're foul, but are they animals?
Well, but let me tell you this.
Are crickets animals?
No, they're just
a nuisance.
Insects. They're just a nuisance.
So we have to take some license with this.
Yeah. And we'll probably cheat where we can.
Oh, we're going to cheat all the way down. We will.
Now, I also did some research, and I thought the bands with animals in their name was pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to animals in titles, birds are mentioned 24 times in the top 100 songs that have been done so far. Dogs mentioned 11, cats 9 times.
Yeah, I can believe that, yeah.
But we're talking bands with animals and their names.
And this is a real burning issue with people out in podcast.
Well, I don't know about that, but I can tell you there are a lot more than you would think.
Mm.
Especially when you're like us and you take liberties.
Well, for instance, fish is not physically spelled. And by the way, a fish isn't an animal. But it's okay. It is. Well, in our world, it is.
Well, that's true.
But it's spelled P-H-I-S-H.
I thought of another this morning as I was shaving and thought, I can stretch
by the way, I'm so
well.
Glad that you've started shaving again. Because that beard, I tell you, that was starting to get on my nerves.
Here's one for you.
What?
Seals and Croft.
I know. I got it.
And let's not leave out the singer. Seal.
Oh, yeah.
Kissed by a Rose. That's not what he...
Oh.
No.
Different guy. Pussy Cat Dolls.
I love them.
I don't know who they are.
Oh, yeah. They're great.
Well, I don't know anything about the Pussy Cat. What great. Was their big hit record?
No,
I'm sorry.
I can't name one. Yeah, but I love to watch them perform. How about Beastie Boys? When was the last time you were listening to a good Beastie Boy cut?
What's a Beastie? Sheryl Crow. Now that one, you know, that's definitely.
Yeah, that.
Steppenwolf.
Got it.
Steppenwolf.
Yeah.
Stray Cats, of course. Mm-hmm. That's one of those cat ones.
Yeah.
You throw in a few there.
How about that group called the Beatles?
Oh, yeah. Even though Beatles are technically bugs.
Well, yeah.
It's close enough for us.
I guess it would be spelt a little differently,
it's
too, right?
Close enough for
close
us.
Enough for us. You're right. The Bee Gees.
Mm-hmm.
Enough bees around this time of year.
How about Tyrannosaurus Rex, which is actually
T-Rex.
Just T-Rex?
Yeah. Blue Oyster Cult or the Boomtown Rats.
Oh, now we're talking.
Yeah, there you go.
What about the Animals? That's a name that is animal.
True. And you know, in the open that we played a few months ago, you had Bee Gees, Buffalo Springfield, Buck Owens.
Tiger course, by the tail.
The Beatles. Well, I always like Act Naturally. You have
which the Beatles also did.
Yep, Beatles, Cat Stevens, Dixie Chicks. I guess they're just the chicks today. Fabulous Thunderbirds, as you mentioned, Steppenwolf, and of course that group called the Eagles.
But isn't Thunderbird a car?
Well, yes, it is. Yeah, but you got Bird.
In fact, I own one.
Yeah,
Bird. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
I told you we'd take liberties.
Speaking of the birds, the eagles, the monkeys, of course.
Yeah.
The Yardbirds, here we are again with birds. Three Dog Night, Toad the Wet Sprocket. Okay. Already. Well, it's Toad. And Whitesnake.
Yeah. Which you said we would be infiltrating Elmwood Park this
Elmwood
summer.
Park, yeah.
Those Whitesnakes.
Those Whitesnakes.
Country Joe and the Fish.
Mm-hmm.
Def Leppard. I mean, why could you not trust a Def Leppard?
I don't know why that tickles me.
How about Eagle Eye Cherry? Do you remember them?
No.
I think they were like, had a one
Eagle
one
Eye
hit.
Cherry?
Yeah. That was late 90s, I think it was.
Oh, here's one, Eddie Rabbit.
Love Is Rainy Nights.
I love a rainy night. Uh-huh. Boy, that was a great song.
Yeah.
Flock of Seagulls. Quick, put something over your head.
You know, seagulls.
Hootie and the Blowfish. Yeah, I think you mentioned them already. Iron Butterfly and a God of Evita. The song that single-handedly.
Wonder why that name. Wonder why Iron Butterfly.
I don't know. Yeah. But that's the song that single-handedly got my old friend Joe Price out of radio. This is the kind of stuff I'm going to have to play for the rest of my career. I'm changing careers. And he did.
I get it. Now, you mentioned the Eagles. Did you know that June 1st of this year was the 50th anniversary of the Eagles' first album entitled The Eagles?
No, I didn't realize
it had, of course, Taking It Easy, Witchy Woman, Peaceful Easy Feeling. Album that came out in 72 put Don Henley, Glenn Frey, Bernie Leadon, and Randy Meisner as Southern California's country rockers. But my favorite on the album, I don't know if you've heard the album or not. You probably have it in your collection.
What's that?
A song called Trying. It's the last cut on the album.
No,
I don't know. Randy Meisner's guitar solo in there is just unbelievable. Huh. Now, we also mentioned Three Dog Night. Of course, in episode 41, they were featured as one of the musical threesomes. Danny Hutton, Corey Wells, and Chuck Negron. They formed in 67. But get this, had it not been for Three Dog Night, we might have never known about Paul Williams.
Who wrote an old-fashioned love song.
Right?
Yeah.
Hoyt Axton.
Yep.
Who wrote Joy to the World.
Right. In fact, we had a little clip on him talking about that many podcasts ago.
Their first single.
In a podcast far away.
the Three Dog Night's first single is called Nobody. And I don't think nobody bought it. then it was Try a Little Tenderness. After that came the song One. And that was a top five hit.
It is the loneliest number in the world.
It is. And after that, Easy to Be Hard, I think, made it up to number four. That was in 69. But their first number one hit, though, was Mama Told Me Not to Come, written by Randy Newman.
Oh, pretty near everything they did was just fabulous.
Pretty near. Oh, and I thought of one more group, animal group name. Again, we're playing on the word here. The Blackbirds. You remember that song, Walking in Rhythm?
Oh, yeah, Walking in Rhythm. I think that was the only hit they ever had.
I think it was. It was recorded in 74.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think that was their only hit.
What about the Hogwarts? Well, it's just a name that came to mind. Surely
I would see a dermatologist and see if I can get rid of it.
Can you get these Hogwarts off of me? There must be a group named the Hogwarts somewhere. I'm pretty certain of it.
Well,
I don't have it.
And as you were saying that, Ray Stevens, Hen House 5.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, well, what can you do?
So there you go. That's some of our favorite favorite groups.
I think we pretty much mine that for everything.
You know, right. I'm sure we're in the middle of the night tonight. I'm going to think of 12 more just because. So, yeah. Is it seconds guessing time?
You know, I'm glad you mentioned it. Because
I'm sorry I mentioned it, actually.
Because, yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
It is. Seconds guessing today will have... we'll have all sorts of groups that have animal names, of course.
Okay.
Many of which we've already mentioned here.
Right.
One or two of which
that's
I found.
Makes it easier for me.
No, one or two of which are real clunkers. It's always.
Oh, good.
And what do you win from the old prize closet?
What do I win?
Well, this famous takeoff on the highly regarded TV show Dragnet by Stan Freberg. It was called Dragonet. And they're out looking for a dragon. Have you ever heard this?
No.
Just a little bits and pieces. I'm going to play two little
Stan
clips.
Freberg. Okay.
Stan Freberg. Stan Freberg, yeah.
The legend you are about to hear is true. Only the needle should be changed to protect the record.
Of course, that'd be lost on a lot of people today. And here's another clip. Of course, they go around interviewing people about the dragon. I love this lady.
Dragon?
It was terrible. He breathed fire on me. He banged me already.
How can I be sure of that, ma'am?
Believe me, I got it straight from the dragon's mouth.
So on and so forth. It was a very funny record. And I think that the thing was probably about 4 minutes long or something.
Stan Freberg just wasn't right.
Well, and you know, he always had this cast of wonderful voices, characterization.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that was one of them. So anyway, you ready to play Seconds Guessing?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go.
That is Stray Cats. Rock This Town. Is that it?
Not only did you get it, you talked up to the vocal.
Well.
How about that? Here goes another one. That's right. Stray Cats.
The kind of a woman make a fool of you. She make a young man groan and an old man pain. Way she took my money was a crying shame.
Almost gave you the name of the song right there.
I have no idea.
Well, you missed an opportunity to get that one. Mary Lou was the name of the song by Ronnie Hawkins and the Hawks.
Oh.
Hello?
Okay.
I can tell you're really impressed.
Well, actually, we're going to be mentioning that a little later on.
Oh, okay.
Wow, you're taking me way back on this one.
See how the fluffy clouds move by.
That's the Cow Sills.
The Cow Sills.
Wait a minute. It's not the rain, the park, the other things. We Can Fly?
You got it. That's it. Man, that was a head scratcher, wasn't it? Because
yeah,
I saw you scratching your head.
There was a lot of gray matter I had to go through to get to that.
Here's an easy one.
Man, I got nothing. But I feel like I know that.
The organ doesn't help any?
No.
Well, that's Apricot Brandy by Ronosaurus.
It's all I can do.
Here you go.
What?
Can't hold you. When you're not with
me. Come on, Larry. Play along with me, won't you?
I'll play along with you. I just don't know what it is.
Should I repeat it? Would that help?
No, that, it won't help at all.
Let me go ahead.
Oh, okay, he does it anyway.
Well, you missed a big opportunity there. That was Make and Believe by Kitty Wells. Kitty Wells.
Got it.
Okay. Of course, we mentioned these
guys. I thought I was being cruel by mentioning these guys. No, you'd already. I should have known. I was on your same level. Seals and Crofts. Summer Breeze.
Summer Breeze through your BVD. Yes, indeed. Seals and Crofts, ladies and gentlemen. Now, this one's an easy one. You'll like this one.
Now, see, if you were any kind of partner here, you would give me the infinity that goes along with this song now in the commercial. Cat Stevens, Wild World.
Absolutely. What a beautiful song, too.
Yeah, yeah.
He was so talented. This one's an easy one.
Oh, I could hide
neath the wings. The Monkees, Davy Jones, and Daydream Believer.
Yep.
The all their songs sound
the Monkees. The Monkees. Daydream Believer. Okay, here's okay. Another one.
But many nights I've wished that I'd been through.
Obviously, I was messing around in the country section of the music library.
Yes, you were. That's, I know, the artist is Buck Owens, but
Buck
I could
Owens
not
fooling
tell
around.
The name. Okay,
the
all right. Around. Oh, that's finally an easy one. A New Kid in Town and the Eagles.
Absolutely.
Everybody's watching you.
I just had to keep running a little bit there, but you got it. New Kid in Town.
Oh, man, I hadn't heard this in forever. Edward Baer. Last song.
You got it. The last song by Edward Baer. This is an easy one, too. Oh, watch out for flying planes. Oh, that buzzing the tower here. Bullet Avenue.
Got to put this in the new Top Gun.
The rooms that, so much
Eric Burdon, The Animals.
My father.
Maybe the song?
A soldier then.
When I was young.
You got it right at the end of it.
I had to wait right because I knew that was the next line.
We now have one more here for you.
Folks, here's a story about a friend of mine from out in the Midwest. He's a tall, handsome guy. And Jack, he really knows his address.
I don't know.
Well, I'm just shocked that you didn't get that one. Larry will not be speaking to me today after this session. That was called Jack. And that cat was, oh, no, Jack, That Cat Was Clean was the name of the song by Dr. Horse. It's true. I accidentally came across this, and I thought, oh, I've never heard of Dr. Horse, but there really was a Dr. Horse. You want to hear it again?
No.
No, I don't either. But it's on a CD that I have called Fire and Fury.
Yeah, do you listen to that a lot?
Which are two different labels that I'm not familiar
Fire
with.
Fire or Fury?
Fire, and then the Fury.
So
they're two different labels.
Okay.
But I mean, they had Wilbert Harrison.
Okay.
They had
Kansas City.
Kansas City. They had Gladys Knight and the Pips.
Yeah.
Every Beat of My Heart.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good song.
Lee Dorsey, Yah Yah.
Yeah.
King Curtis was on this label.
Okay.
For a period of time. I think all of them just dropped in one day, you know, occasionally.
Let's do a song, it. Yeah.
But anyway, that was Lightning Hopkins and whatever. Mojo Hand, I think it's called. But anyway, yeah, that's a good old Dr. Horse. Unfortunately, the song was written a long time ago. They had to put Dr. Horse out to pasture. Oh, well.
And he's still grazing in the grass.
Want to hear a song story?
I would love to hear a song story, and then I guess we've got a bunch of obituaries to get to.
Unfortunately, we do.
Man, but some great stories to go along with.
Well, you know, it's gotten so bad.
Mm-hmm. How bad has it gotten?
It got gotten so bad that Goldmine Magazine, which I get every 2 months now, has just stopped doing obituaries altogether because the whole magazine was turning into one gigantic obituary.
I get it.
They don't even list them anymore. I mean, they don't do anything. Yeah, they just dropped it off. In a recent interview with Rolling Stone magazine, I think it was, Mickey Dolenz, or Dolenz.
Dolenz,
the surviving monkey, the only one, told them, you ready for this?
Okay.
That he didn't remember recording I'm a Believer. And it had nothing to do with the medications he was on at the time, ladies and gentlemen. Rather, he said it had to do with their rigorous schedule and the manner in which they often had to record sometimes separately, sometimes more than one song at a time they were working on. Can you imagine
it? It's possible Neil Diamond was on drums.
Didn't
he write that song?
I think he did.
Okay.
He said that between filming the TV shows and trying out brand new songs for each show, they were called to the recording studio at odd times, day and night. And not always together. And, of course, we already knew that the wrecking crew did all the music for them separately. So anyway, it was just very confusing. So he said that sometimes when they lip-synced the song on the show, it was the first time they actually heard the fully produced record. Can you imagine that?
No.
So apparently he went into the recording studio by himself to put down whatever tracks are necessary, backgrounds or whatever. Although I think he sang lead on I'm a Believer, but I'm not sure. So anyway.
The Monkees, you know, they represent optimism. To what do you attribute your staying power, though you haven't released really any new music?
That's a good question. For starters, you know, we have this television show, which started the whole thing. The music, of course, you know, written by Carole King, Neil Diamond, Harry Nilsson, Paul Williams, Neil Sedaka, David Gates, Carol Bayer Sager. You know, they don't write a lot of duff tunes.
Yeah.
You add all that up, and then I'd like to think, of course, we had something to do with it.
I would think so, too. I mean, the personalities were what it all worked. You guys were different, though, in the sense that it was just becoming cool for bands to be self-contained and write their own material, and that was a big deal, and you guys really stood apart from that.
Well, the reality was we were not a band. A TV show about a band. So when I get back with the Monkees, it's like getting back to do the revival of a musical. As if Yul Brynner were getting back to do the King and I. I'm recreating my role as Mickey Dolenz, the drummer of the Monkees.
Oh, I saw that story come across, the old AP Wire, a few minutes, and then it just so happened that I came across a CD with an interview. Yeah. So I thought, wow, that's all goes together pretty well.
Great piece there. Yeah. I had a chance to interview Mickey Dolenz one time.
Now you're putting me on.
I'm serious.
Where?
Yeah. We did it by phone. He was going out on tour.
Huh.
He was.
How long ago was that, do you think?
Oh, it's probably been about eight to 10 years, but he was a great interview.
Was he fun to talk to?
He wasn't as fun as you'd think he would be after watching him, you know, on the Monkees and what have you.
Right.
You know, he was touring and trying to sell, I think, his solo album or something.
Hmm.
But he was great.
Unfortunately, at this point, I guess we need to do some people that have passed on. Do you think?
Yeah.
We ready for that?
We've got a bunch of them.
Oh, we do. Here's one I bet you hadn't heard about. Rose Marie Trapp has conked. Family inspired the sound of music. Excuse me. She was living in the United States. She died at the age of 93 in a nursing home.
Wow.
And Trapp Family Lodge announced... her brother Johan is president of the Stowe Resort that they operate to this day here in the United States of America. I understand that Rosemarie was a deer, a female deer. I couldn't resist. I'm sorry.
And Ray? A drop of golden sun?
Yes.
Okay.
What do you got?
I can't top that.
Well, let me go on. I'll do one more while you get yourself together.
Okay,
I know the line just destroyed you. Vangelis has passed on. He wrote Chariots of Fire theme. Remember that?
Mm-hmm, I do.
79 years old, Vangelis, the Greek electronic composer who wrote the unforgettable Academy Award-winning score for the film Chariots of Fire and music for dozens of other movies and documentaries and TV series, has died at the age of 79. I work like an athlete, he said. He avoided the lifestyle excesses associated with many in the music industry. In fact, he hardly ever was seen in public, saying that he never took drugs, which was very uncomfortable at times. Mm-hmm. Vangelis said he didn't ever experiment with his music and usually did everything on the first take.
Wow.
That's what he said. Now, Vangelis, by the way, did have a last name.
Oh.
But it was one of those 14-letter Greek names that we don't have time for here.
Which is why
I couldn't tell you how to pronounce it.
You know what I used to do?
What?
I used to play the theme Chariots of Fire while watching Baywatch. It seemed only appropriate, especially when they're running on the beach, you know, in slow motion.
I get the point. Yeah, okay. Yes, I do. I get it.
I heard the name Alan White.
Who was he?
He was a drummer for Yes. Mm-hmm. Joined them in 1972. He also played on albums by John Lennon and George Harrison.
Mm.
But Alan White, drummer for Yes, passed away recently.
And you can hear some of his chops on this song right here.
What a great song.
Oh, yeah.
Great, great song.
I just had to let it roll for a little bit because that's such a great piece.
Yeah, well, that's enough enough reason to download or get the album Fragile.
You hear him just banging away.
Oh, I know.
Drum.
I know.
Very good. Boom, boom.
Yeah.
Wow. That's terrific. Really.
Yeah, between drums and an organ. I mean, yes, they just did their own thing.
I was in Oregon last week, as a matter of fact. Oh, Oregon. Okay. All right. Here's another one. Bob Neuwirth.
Uh-huh.
Bob Dylan mentor, legendary singer-songwriter, passes away at 82.
Hmm.
He friended and encouraged a young Bob Dylan. Mm-hmm. When he arrived in New York's Greenwich Village in the 60s, mm-hmm. he passed away at the age of 82 on the verge of his birthday in June.
Oh, my.
And so on and so forth. But anyway, for over 60 years, Bob was the epicenter of cultural moments from Woodstock to Paris. He really got around. He did some stuff. Famously credited with co-writing Janis Joplin's Mercedes Benz with Michael McClure and urging her to cover his pal Kris Kristofferson song Me and Bobby McGee. So he had some influence there. He really did.
Indeed.
Bob Neuwirth. Yeah.
Ronnie Hawkins.
And musician, the Hawks.
And the Hawks.
I mentioned them a while ago.
Yeah. He was a musician, mentor of the group The Band, passed away on Sunday, May 29th at the age of 87. His musical education began at the barbershop, where a shoeshine boy named Buddy Hayes had a blues band that rehearsed with a piano player named Little Joe. Hawkins started performing in Arkansas, his native Arkansas, in the late 1950s, became a roadhouse entertainer based in Canada in the 60s. His music rooted in the rock and roll rhythms of Bo Diddley and Chuck Berry.
Mm.
He was a member of the group, here we go, Ronnie Hawkins and the Hawks. Which rose to fame in the early 1960s. He mentored stars like Robbie Robertson, Levon Helm, and Rick Danko, who went on to form The Band. Robbie Robertson said the story of The Band began with Ronnie, their mentor. He taught them the rules of the road, he said. His style was to play faster and more violent and explosive than anyone had ever heard before. In 1969, he hosted John Lennon and Yoko Ono at his ranch in Toronto during their world tour to promote world peace. Bob Dylan was a longtime fan who in 1975 cast Mr. Hawkins to play the role of Bob Dylan in the movie Rinaldo and Clara.
Ronaldo and Clara. I must have missed that one somewhere down the line.
Oh, by the way, in 1989, in his autobiography, mm-hmm. Last of the Good Old Boys, he said 90% of what I made went to women, whiskey, drugs, and cars.
Well, there you go. What else is left?
He
huh?
said, I guess I just wasted the other 10%. That's what you call living life in its fullest.
Wow. I do have a bit of sad news.
Oh?
Well, not that the obituaries
weren't. We haven't exactly had happy news of late.
But I haven't.
Okay.
This has nothing to do with death. Oh. Well, it kind of may be the death of the wedding industry in Vegas.
Oh.
It's just been announced that Las Vegas chapels of love that use Elvis Presley's likeness could find themselves becoming heartbreak hotels.
Oh, no.
The licensing company that controls the name and image of the king is ordering Sin City Chapel operators to stop using Elvis in themed ceremonies, according to the Las Vegas Review Journal. Authentic Brands Group, that owns all of that, by the way, now, they would go around buying all this stuff up, and you know how they make money.
Yeah,
they license it for commercials and mm-hmm. oh, that's, you know, movies and all sorts of stuff. Anyway, they have sent a cease and desist letters in early May to multiple chapels, which are expected to be compliant by this very time. With Elvis so closely tied to Vegas wedding industry, some say the move could decimate the business. The city's wedding industry, by the way, in case you wanted to know, make note of this, Larry.
Okay.
Generates $2 billion with a B a year. And officials say Elvis-themed weddings represent a significant number of those ceremonies performed. Graceland Wedding Chapel in Vegas would perform 6,400 weddings, Elvis-themed weddings, per year. They have not been served a warning yet, according to manager Rod Musum. Mm-hmm. Authentic Brands Group did not have any response immediately. So they're trying to protect the Elvis image.
You know, after all these years,
yeah,
now it becomes a problem?
Yeah, you kind of wonder, don't you?
And I also wonder, are they trying to make Elvis disappear?
Well, I don't know. Well, Elvis has disappeared, although I think I saw him yesterday.
He's left the building. He's left Vegas now.
Yeah, so. That's true. He's going to leave Vegas. Apparently, there is an exception, mm-hmm. according to the article. There is an exception to the Elvis rule.
Fine print.
Fine print that was put into effect by the people who run the city of Vegas. Mm-hmm. Some lawyers inserted it in there that they still can have Elvis shows on stage. But I think the reason for that is they probably get a percentage of the gate.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's, that could be. Takes care of that commercially.
So they make nothing off those weddings.
Well, what they got to do, what would be the sensible thing to do, would be to say, okay, if you want to continue these Elvis-themed weddings, give us a cut, a small cut. Doesn't have to be a big cut, because it seems to be all about money.
Well, at 6,400 weddings.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
That's,
Well, if it's only $1 per wedding, they'd be making $6,400. Well,
yeah.
You see how my mathematical mind works?
It's beautiful.
You can see the cogs going around, can you?
Oh, goodness gracious. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. We've fulfilled our duty.
Have we crammed everything in that we possibly can?
I think we have.
All right. Well, we appreciate you joining us for episode 42 of Two Larrys and a Mike. If you like Two Larrys and a Mike, follow us wherever you download your podcast. Be sure to share the podcast with someone by simply clicking the share button. We hope you're going to join us next time for Two Larrys and a Mike. I am Larry Dowdy.
Larry Bly here.
And Mike.
Off in bagpipe land.
Oh, boy.
I'm telling you. Hefting those things around.
Yeah, we'll see you next time.